Now turn with me, please, for our reading, first of all, to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 12. We shall read one verse here, very important verse for those who are in their sins. Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness. And there is a definite article here before this. And the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, without the holiness spoken of here, no one shall ever see the Lord. Now turn back, please, this time to chapter 9, same epistle. Verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. And the word is forgiveness. Now the 11th chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him, please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder, a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him or seek him. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. You wouldn't need to be a theologian at all to be able to follow what is upon my mind here this evening. I have read three very plain scriptures that I trust that God will bless to the hearts of those who are in their sins. The Word of God is living and powerful, and the preaching of the Word and the reading of the Word is vitally important. If you would forget all else that may be said here this evening, these scriptures should be sufficient to arouse you to your need and to bring you to repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I have read, first of all, without holiness. And the word here, as I mentioned, is in the definite article. It's without the holiness that God requires. No man can see the Lord. Without holiness, no one can ever be in the divine presence. And then I read another wonderful passage in Hebrews chapter 9. Without the shedding of blood is no forgiveness. You set that down in your mind here this evening, that your sins can only be forgiven on one basis, the shedding of the Savior's precious blood. And then last of all, I've read a very important passage, because salvation comes by faith to those who believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Many are being lost today by pleasure and by false religion, but I believe the greatest number are being lost by an act of unbelief. It's solemn to think that in the book of the Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 8, where we have the sad list of sinners that will finally be in the lake of fire, heading that list is not the whoremonger, or the sorcerer, or the abominable. But the first on the list is the fearful and the unbelieving. And if you're an unbeliever here, the Bible says, he that believeth not shall be damned. The unbelief of the human heart damns the soul for all eternity. It is the damning sin of unbelief. Now, in days of catastrophe and war, there are many things that we can do without. There are things that we look upon in our modern society as being essentials. But it's amazing how people can live without the usual things that we call essential. But I'm going to speak about three things that no one can afford to be without. You can miss many things in this life, but I hope you'll not miss the truth of what we've been reading about here in these three Psalm scriptures. First of all, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. It's a very solemn thing to preach, and we need to preach it, that every one of us entered into this world on the same common ground. In fact, Psalm 51 and verse 5, I consider to be one of the most solemn verses in the Bible. David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In the womb of our mother, and this would tell me, though I don't want to speak of it here tonight, but it shows me the great truth that life begins in the womb. And in the womb of our mothers, each of us here, whether she was a believer or an unbeliever, matters not the race or color or kind, every single person conceived in the womb of his mother was conceived in darkness and in sin. We entered this world ruined the very moment we came, the moment we had life. How did that come about? Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 is the divine commentary on what transpired in Eden. And let me say, the Edenic fall, the fall of our first parents, is no allegory. Cut it out of the Bible, Genesis 3, and the rest is of no account. We begin in the ruin of man in the garden. The Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world. It tells me that sin was somewhere else before it entered into the world. But by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed through unto all men, like a river. Why? All sin. Not all have sin there. It's the fall in the representative one, the head of the fallen creation. All sin. And the reason we enter the world sinners is this. We are of a fallen race. It's inherent in our nature. We are depraved by sin, defiled. And the moment conceived in the womb of our mother, ruined. Oh, how terrible this is, and how humbling to the pride of human flesh, that the whole world enters ruined and on the broad road. I have no time for the teaching that would tell us that we didn't enter the broad road until we made a choice. I believe we came in on the wrong road, heavily handicapped. And if any of us have been delivered, it's by the sovereign grace of God that we are what we are. Every one of us deserved to perish. And so the Bible tells me of the uncleanness of man by nature. But not only that, because the root and the very inwards of our being are corrupt, it follows that immediately, shortly after coming into the world, when the age of innocence is past, and we begin to choose. What do we choose? We drink iniquity like water. And every one of us bear the fruit of our ruined race. It's as natural for us to bear fruit of evil as for the tree to bear the fruit in condition of time. And so we were born corrupt. And we have all practiced sin. And so when we come to Romans 3, 23, it's a little different from Romans 5, where we have quoted. And we read these words, all have sinned. Here's the fruit, the practice. In Romans 5, it's the inward. The root is wrong, and the practice is wrong, and there is no difference. Yes, there are differences into the depths to which men may plunge in sin, and there's no telling how far a man may go into sin. When God looks upon the heart, He's not like us. We look on the outward appearance, but there is an eye that looks into the intents of the heart. As Samuel had to learn long ago when he came to anoint a king. And we read these solemn words, the heart in man is deceitful above all things. Do you know that your heart and mine, apart from divine regenerating mercy, is more deceitful than the old serpent himself? Oh, how terrible is our ruin. When angels were ruined, He expelled them from heaven and condemned them, for God is light. 1 John chapter 1, this is the message that we have heard of Him that we declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. When I was unsaved in the Sunday school, the old superintendent put a hem on the sheet yonder on the board. I can see it yet. It made me tremble when I was a child. There is a city bright, closed with gates to sin. Not the defileth shall ever enter in. And I knew I'd never be there. I was defiled by sin. Without the holiness, no one shall see the Lord. And we have none of us of this holiness. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Again, there is not a just man upon the earth, one that sinneth not. We are all condemned and ruined and in fearful danger. We can't obtain this holiness by any works of our own. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Titus chapter 3. Romans 4, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him who justifieth the ungodly, to him it is counted for righteousness. The great question of the Bible is, how can I, a guilty sinner on earth, obtain holiness? God looked down upon us. Oh, I love that old hymn, He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all, to save me from my low estate. His loving kindness, oh, how great. And the wise will of Tekoa didn't understand what she said in the presence of David and Joab. But I like those words. Yet doth He devise a means whereby His banished. And that's all of us. We were all banished. But thank God we were not all expelled. We might have been. The thief on the cross understood it when he said, we receive the due reward of our deeds. Every man that will stand at the great white throne to go into that awful lake of fire to be judged for his own sins, everyone will say, we receive the due reward of our deeds. But they're not able to say, I saw a man who has done nothing out of flesh. If you want to be saved tonight, you've got to get your eye on the only one who is perfectly holy. This epistle to the Hebrews presents him in so many beautiful ways. It is the epistle of his preeminence. And then we read in chapter 7, who was holy, harmless, undefiled. In this world has been one man whose footsteps were ever holy, whose inwards were ever unblemished, the impeccable Christ, the Savior of the world. Any man that would question his absolute purity is no gospel to preach. We stand for the absolute impeccability of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He did no sin, He knew no sin, and in His holy nature there was no sin. And the great mystery of the gospel is that that Holy One should stoop from heaven to take our guilty place upon the tree. The only way that God could save man is through the death of the Lord Jesus in our guilty room, to be wounded, to be bruised, and to put away sin. Once in the end of the age hath he appeared, what to do? To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. John, as he looked at him on the banks of Jordan, the well-beloved of the Father could say, this is my son. But John could say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Brings me back to Genesis 3, the sin of the world. It takes me back to Exodus chapter 12, the Lamb. It points me to Leviticus 16, to the scapegoat bearing all the sin of the people into the land that was not inhabited. Brings me to Numbers 21. Behold, the serpent lifted up. Behold, the Lamb of God. God's only provision. Listen to this. Without the holiness, no one will see the Lord. Have you got this holiness? Have I got this holiness? When did I receive it? How did it come about? There's bound to be a change in some of us here that they're all of us entered the same way. But some of us are now altered. And we have obtained a standing. We have obtained forgiveness of our sins. We have obtained acceptance in the well-beloved. We have obtained a passport to heaven and home. Oh, tonight, have you got the passport? Or are you here in your sins? Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. As we reminded you of the old hymn, heaven's door is closed against all who die in their sins. They will perish. Are you in your sins tonight? So someone, how can I have my sins removed? I have read of Moses that he sprinkled the book on all the items in the tabernacle, everything in that tabernacle, his own the garments of Aaron, the breastplate, the altar, everything in that tabernacle had blood upon it. And when we look into the Bible, we learn that running through it is not only the dark thread of sin, but alongside it is that scarlet thread. And we would like Rahab, to bind the scarlet thread in the window of our testimony. Where are we in days when there's a gospel that's excluding blood atonement? And men are asked to do things, to commit themselves and so on. We desire to preach the atonement of Christ while breath is given to us and our days may be numbered. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. You know the preaching of blood atonement is unpopular in the religious world today. The preaching of blood atonement has been less and less heard, even in fundamental circles. The preaching of that precious, precious blood that flowed upon the tree to redeem poor sinners from death and hell. Oh, we're so thankful here in Woodland Drive, and I came here just shortly after this hall was open to preach the gospel. And the men that were here then, they believed in blood atonement. And it thrills me that the men that are here now believe it the same. Although the times are changing and days are changing, and the old-fashioned gospel is not ringing out as it ought to be. The danger of theological preaching and storytelling and amusing people. Oh, may we get back to the cross and see the value of his blood. Every one of us here going to heaven, we place value upon that death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his burial in the garden tomb, and he rose again the third day according to scriptures. What is the gospel you say?
1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. Alone on the cross with a crown of thorns that we heard about piercing his brow. Nailed alive upon a Roman tree with his arms outstretched in the darkness of Golgotha. Bared his breast to take the stripes that were due to us. He died for the ungodly. Thank God I can say he died for me. My Lord the King,
can you say?
Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. How can it be yours? By faith. Faith alone. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not asked to sign a document. You're not asked to go through an ordinance. We don't point to the waters of baptism or to a sacramental Eucharist. We don't point you to any ritual on earth. We point you to Christ who lives in heaven. It is his death upon the tree that saves. But we place our faith not upon a dead Christ, but on a living Redeemer who's up from the grave and able to say and break the power of tensile sin and set the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood avails for me.
Will you trust him tonight? What must I do to be saved?
The answer of the apostles simply was this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The amount of your faith is not mentioned. The greatness of your faith, some of great faith like a Simeon, and they can take the child in their arms and say, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But here's a woman who came trembling behind me. And she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. And we sing the old hymn, oh, touch the hem of his garment. And thou too shalt be free. The saving power of this very hour. He contends from every sin that's upon you. Will you trust him? Therefore, being justified by faith, with peace with God. Faith resting not in device or creed, but an arisen Christ who put away sin that I might be forgiven. May God bless his word with what will follow for his name's sake.